we receive revelation that comes from the scriptures. The Son is revealed in our hearts in the teaching of your word in this service. There is no error in this service. There is no confusion in this service. Revelation knowledge has a free flow in this service. Together as a church, we hold Jesus Christ your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we're edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. In the second service, we looked at he is glorified. And I want to say we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. We will glory of the Father in his earth coming. We're going to sing it. And by Spirit of the in our heart. We are the we're going to sing it in this service. I sang it before I came. So I'm sure we're going to sing it. Matthew's Gospel 28. Let's go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, Lord, for all that's what God has given unto me in heaven and earth. In 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things wherever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Now, first and foremost, we said that we must have a culture of reading the books of the scriptures together. The Bible mustn't be read in isolation. None of the books were written in isolation, which is, if I read Romans, I must read Romans with Genesis, I must read with Isaiah, I must read the scriptures together. That's why I gave us the principle of community reading, which I learned in law school, how to read all the books together and not selectively read portions. And that's why the concept of having favorite verses will eventually lead you either into error or deep ignorance. You mustn't have favorite verses. You must read. Now, that may be strong. You mustn't have favorite verses. But having favorite verses may not be healthy because you should read all of the scriptures. And I mentioned in the earlier service about proof texting. Proof texting means that I have a thought, I have a belief, then I have scriptures to back it up. I already have what I want to say, so I have scriptures to back it up. You know, I remember somebody was going to ask women not to wear ankle chain. You know ankle chain? Yeah, you know ankle chain? You should know it, right? So he went to somewhere in Isaiah, and I know the text very well. And he said, look at the Bible says that a woman must not wear ankle chain. That because the writer said, and they have chains on their leg, their feet. So he assumed that it was about that sister in his fellowship. So he just looked for a scripture to back it up. So I told him to relax. Now let's go through it together. And oftentimes people are not patient. Say, no! Don't treat it, it's clear! It's clear! Don't come and confuse me! Is that how you pass your school books? When you're just quoting? No, now you read everything. So we mustn't be found doing that. Not forgetting that the scriptures were not written in chapters and verses originally, which means that the authors expected that we're going to read through the whole thing. And you must have that attitude. And I've always told you, as your pastor, that you can never learn God's word in patience. When you are not patient, you are not patient in the service, you're already checking your wristwatch. You're not patient in study, you just want to go through it. You know, someone says, so all your sermons is equal to one or two. Don't tell us the end. You know, like a fellow said, he said, what he likes about a person's sermon is this. I couldn't say anything because he was elderly. He said, he will end up talking about heaven and hellfire. That, you know, that remembrance of heaven and hellfire, it always blesses him to know that. You either die and go to heaven and hellfire. That kind of stuff. That's quite an interesting one, you know, to have a favorite verse. But the truth is, you can't expect to read scriptures that way. You must read scriptures together. And so, not forgetting that we did study, that Jesus in Matthew's gospel here, 18 to 20, he read through Genesis to Malachi. We said, Genesis to Malachi is the word of God. Is that very fair? That right there is the word of God. Okay, now, it's the word of God, and I told you in the earlier services, it's in a progressive form. Okay, it's in a progressive form. It's in a predictive form as well. It's also in a conversation format. Then, fourthly, very vitally, it's in an educative form. You see, scriptures, if you listen to the teaching we did last week at the Cell Leaders Conference, the heart of writing, that's it. Learning to write, and out of Christian discipleship, yeah. Because most of those titles, someone else will give them the titles. I just know Christ. Right? I'm sounding very spiritual now, so that's. So anyway, so the thing about life, what happened about? Okay, yeah, I said in that conference that Christians went to services to learn how to read. Because the scriptures were meant to be educative. That's why the word katab, used by Moses, and the word Torah, the two words used for the Old Testament, precisely the words of Moses, katab, to write, which is where you have the word graphe, grapho, in the epistles, and then you have the word Torah, are the words used for education. So which means that first and foremost, see your Bible as an educative material. It's meant to educate you about spiritual realities, but it's meant to educate you. So don't think that it's written in an illogical, or let me add this, a stupid manner. No, stupid, that's not expected to make sense in the way it's presented. No, it's meant to be seen properly. That's why Luke 24, when Jesus said, "Oh fools and slow of heart to believe all of the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things?" Luke 24, 26 and 27, suffer and enter into his glory. Verse 27, begin at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded the Emmanuel to explain in detail. So the Bible was just meant to be declarations. They don't really need to teach it. It was just a book of blessings and curses. Take your own, go away. It's meant to be taught. Which means that it's expected that the way you handle your academic materials and you explain it with building blocks intelligently, that's how scriptures ought to be taught. That's why the believer, or the work of the ministry, is called making disciples. Making disciples. Matthew 28:19. A word used for training people in a profession, an art, or a discipline. So if the scriptures are meant to discipline or to train you, therefore they are not supposed to be read carelessly. Carelessly. Read it systematically. And I've told you over the years that the way to explain scripture and not be confused is systematic theology, systematic explanation. Systematic, painstaking explanation. Luke 24, he expounded systematically. In all the scriptures, the Emmanuel, the things concerning himself. Luke 24:44, he speaks unto them, saying, "These are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled." Luke 24:44, which were written in the law of Moses systematically, in the prophets systematically, and in the Psalms systematically. Luke 24:45, then he opened their understanding, verse 45, that they might understand the scriptures. So, we have been looking at the word to edify. To edify. And you need to realize what it means. When it says to edify, for example, Paul applies that word a lot. A lot. Let me give you an idea of an instance, pardon me, Romans 14, where the word edify. Romans 15, sorry, not 14. Verse 2. That every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now he's not talking about praying in tongues or prophecy. Edification. Now, that word in the Greek, now don't forget, the basis of the Greek translation is the Hebrew translation. So the first line of understanding, which I have made a discipline to do, is to first of all understand how the Old Testament of Genesis to Malachi presents it. Then it will make sense when I get to the epistles or the four gospels. Now, that word, edification, let me just say it in today's language. Look up, please. It is building a building. So, let's have that in mind. Building a building. Or a building. Okay? So, then if the writers use a word used to build a building or a building, that means something is being built. Now, let's put that together with another thing. It's the exact opposite of destruction. So, it is either I am building or I am destroying. So we are building a building or we are destroying. So, there are two things. So, which is why I said we must first of all take our narrative from the epistle, the Genesis of Malachi, or Old Testament. Every word you see, or every term or concept or phrase you see used in the epistles of the four gospels, takes a story, its narrative, or better still, its background in Genesis to Malachi. So as soon as I see it in Ephesians, Matthew, Book of Acts, okay, or I see it in Romans, I go back to where it's being explained from. Where is it explained from? Genesis to where? Malachi. Excellent. So that's very key in the concept of edify. The concept of edify, therefore, takes its root from the Old Testament books. Now, I would love to do it like this. Let's go to the four gospels, because we said that the background of the epistles is the Book of Acts, then the four gospels. So let me take us through that process. Let's leave out the Roman explanation, the first and second Corinthians explanation, and the Ephesians explanation, and let's go to Book of Acts. What is the building? Book of Acts. Acts 4. Verse 10. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, God, whom God raised from the dead, even by him for this man stand here before you. Oh, now let's read verse 11 together and verse 12. This is the stone which was set to naught, of which you builders, which has become the head of the corner. So you can see there's a building. Now, what's the building? Now, he's saying about Jesus. So let's read verse 12 together. Let's go. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven, but the name of Jesus. So, which means that this building is built from or on salvation. So that's important. Now, let's go to Matthew 21. Now, there's a parable, I'm not reading from 42, but there's a parable before it, where Jesus used the parable that you're going to find in Isaiah, the parable of the vineyard. I think I told you last week. Was it the service? The vineyard, Isaiah 5, was it the service? Oh, okay. Now, verse 73, we have the vineyard parable, which is, again, there's no parable of Jesus you will find again in the Old Testament book. So you have this in 23, the vineyard parable in Isaiah 5, and then he explains what it means. He's talking about his own death and resurrection. His own death, look at 37. He sent his son, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandman saw the son, they said among them, this is the heir, come, let us kill him. That is echoed directly from Genesis. This is the son, come, let us kill him. That's exactly what was said to Joseph let us kill him. This is the heir. Heir, let come, let us kill him. And let us seize on his inheritance. So they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. Now, he says that when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen? This is a parable now. 41. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit of his season. Now let's say 32 together, and slowly to 44. Let us go. Did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? Now, so the rejection of the stone is the death of Jesus, right? Are you following? The stone is become what? The head of the corner. Are you following? This is the Lord's doing. That's Psalm 118. It's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, given to a nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, whosoever shall it fall, it shall grind to powder. And they knew he was talking about them. So, Jesus is talking about his death. Go to Psalm 118. So the stone that the builders, that's the building again, right? Come on. Come on. That means God is building on what? The death and resurrection of Jesus. Who's following this? Is it becoming clearer? So is a building going on, or is it building on the death and resurrection of Jesus? Psalm 118. I know people have quoted this for other things, but let's see what it's for. Verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted, the right hand of the Lord very willingly. I shall not die, believe, and declare the work of the Lord. This is about Jesus, okay? It's not about escaping the car accident, even though you should escape the car accident. There should be salvation and preservation. But it's about Jesus. The Lord has chosen me to stop, but he has not given me over to death. Open to the gate of righteousness, I will go to them and I praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord, into that I will enter his gate in my heart. It's about the death of Jesus, okay? So don't enter yet. I praise you, but thou hast helped me, and thou become my salvation. 22. The stone which the builders refused to become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous. 24. This is the day. This is the day. Can you see it? That the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. That is the day of his resurrection. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? So the day, the stone which the builders rejected, I mean, something has been built. Okay, so what is being built? Psalm 132. Last week, I'll just take it from there. We looked at the rest. Remember that? Come on, did we? The rest, Psalm 132. Verse 7. We will go into his tabernacle, we will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, unto thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. And we said that that word is a resting place. Can you remember? Menucha. M-E-N-U-C-H-A-H. Resting place. Into your resting place. Let's follow. Look at verse 13. For the Lord, our chosen Zion, he had desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Where will I dwell? For I have desired it. So we have resting place. Arise, O Lord, and enter into your resting place. Look at some Isaiah 66, verse 1. Isaiah 66 and this one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following? Alright, good. Isaiah 66 verse 1. Let's take it together. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Can you see the word build now? Okay? Where is the place of my rest? So, where is the house that you build? Beit, B-A-Y-I-T-H, or households? Let us tell. or family. My resting place. Okay? Now, as our custom should be, when I read it in the prophets, I must find it where? In the law, right? Come on. When I read it in the Psalms and the prophets, I must find it where? In the law. So which means that whatever they are saying at this point is a repetition of something already in the law. So where is the resting place? David said the Lord will enter into that resting place. So look at, go back again to Psalm 95. Verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today if you hear his voice, that's the gospel, harden not your heart as into the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your father tempted and proved me, and saw my work. So this is Exodus through to Deuteronomy, precisely Numbers. 40 years long will I give with this generation. There is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Let's take 11 together. Let's go. Unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So which means that there was a rest in the law that is now being spoken of in the prophets. Are you following? So we have a rest in the law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Who's following this? Come on. Come on, let's see. And that rest, does it involve building? A building? Okay, it involves a building. So there's a rest that involves a building. A resting place. So another matter too was because here, it says, they will not enter into my rest. So let's go to Exodus. We have to find it somewhere. In Exodus. We're going to read two texts together, Exodus 20, where you have the Ten Commandments. I've told you over and over again, the Ten Commandments is not the law of sin and death. The Ten Commandments is the gospel. I've explained that to you over and over again. If you lay your hands on two kinds of righteousness, whatever the book or the series is right there. The Ten Commandments is the gospel. Because it talks about God's deliverance. Exodus 20 verse 2. Pay attention here. Exodus 20 verse 2. I have delivered you. I've set you free. Exodus 20 verse 3. You have more than those before me. That's faith in God. Up to verse 7. Let's look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. Now, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying now. We read the Sabbath day. That's what he's talking about. The Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor, and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Now let me explain that to you. You notice that there are two things that Moses will say is the Lord thy God's own. For example, he said the Lord's Passover. Why do we have to say the Lord's Passover? Because Passover was a feast in Egypt. It's not a feast that God started. So by saying it is the Lord's Passover, that means that God will use a ceremony that you are used to teach his word. So same thing as the Sabbath. Last week, I remember I reminded you that there was nothing in Genesis that treated any day specially. Hope you remember that. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? Huh? Very good. So therefore, pay attention here. So he says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God, in that thou shalt do any work, thy son, thy daughters, maid servants, thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the sea. So when he says 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the sea, is he teaching science or what we are reading in Genesis? Huh? What are we reading? Come on. Are we reading the science book of Genesis? So that means that when he made this statement, they were reading the book of Genesis. And all that is in, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. So
here, Moses takes our mind back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. So, now, let's put attention on something. We have Menucha and we have Sabbath. Sabbath refers to a day. Menucha is a place. So we have rest day, Exodus 20, rest place, Isaiah 66 verse 1, and Psalm 132 verse 8, Psalm 95 verse 11 and verse 7. That's rest place, rest day. Who's getting the difference here? Who sees the difference? Nobody. Can you see the difference? There's rest place, resting place, that is Psalm 132, Isaiah 66. There's resting day, or rest day, Exodus 20. Who's following this? Okay, make that distinction very clear. There's rest day, a rest place. So, let us find out where does the rest day come from. The rest day again is a Moses interpretation of God's promise. In Genesis chapter 2, which I told you that ought to have been read from chapter 1. It says in verse 1, but the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it and caused it that he had rested from all his work which he, the Lord, had made. Now pay attention to that. So, there is something in Genesis where he says God finished his work and rested. What is he planning to finish? In Genesis 1, 2, the earth was without form and void. Remember that? Can you remember that? But without form and void, there's confusion, there's darkness. So that means light will cover the earth. The Spirit of God will cover the earth. Genesis 1, 2 to 3 and 4. So Genesis, how is it going to happen? Genesis 1, 26. Through man, who is in the likeness and image of God. What is the man supposed to do? Verse 28. He will be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. So, when the whole earth is filled and full, then the work is what? Done. Who's following this now? And that is the rest. So, the seventh day is when everything is done. Okay? So, we have seventh day. Moses will use day. Why? Israel understand that mode of communication. Day, when everything is done. David says, Menucha, just like Isaiah, resting place. So, in the seventh day, where is this rest? A part of the earth or all of the earth? Thank you. And how is this rest going to take place? Through man or around man? Well, that's the seventh day. Okay, good. So, in Moses, in David's prophecy, it's a resting place. A resting place. Just like, but we know that whatever David was saying, or the prophets were saying, is the same thing as was in the law and the Torah. So the law in Genesis, pardon me. So, we have the Menucha. And I explained to you that when it says the Lord made the heavens and the earth is the word Asa, A-S-A-H, which is to do, to produce, to prepare, to repair, to perfect, to bring to bear. In this instance, it's a recreation concept. So in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, you have the word subdue, to trample under the foot an enemy, which is the devil and darkness. We have to fill the earth, malay. Now the word subdue is the word kabash, K-A-B-A-S-H. The word fill, malay, M-A-L-E or mala, M-A-L-A. To fill, same word, fill with the glory, Numbers 14, 21, Psalm 20, 72, verse 19, Habakkuk 2, 14, and Psalm 24, verse 1. That is, Numbers 14, 21, Psalm 72, 19, Habakkuk 2, 14, Psalm 24, verse 1.
to multiply. Multiply seed in the earth to be fruitful, which is the seed of the woman or the seed of God being fruitful in all the earth. So, whatever is in Genesis is about God reclaiming the earth. Whatever is the rest of God in Genesis is God's redemption plan for the earth, which he will walk through man, male and female. Let me see how many people are getting this. Come on. Is this getting clear to you? Very good. Now, in the Psalms, let's go back to Exodus 20. So the seventh day is in all the earth, right? Is it all the earth? It's for all the earth. Come on. It's for all the earth. Now, is it going to happen by twinkle of an eye or through man, the man in the image of God that multiplies and replenishes the earth? Is that it? Very good. So it's going to happen through man. The seventh day will happen through man. So in Exodus 20, if we now know that the seventh day will happen through man, Exodus 20 verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is the Sabbath day again? A Sunday, a Tuesday, or God's redemptive plan. Is it clear? Is it clear? So when I say remember, we look at that, come on, Zakah. What are we going to remember? To mention it, to talk about it. So when it says remember the seventh day, the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is it asking them to put it in their diary or to talk about it? Okay, now talk about it where? In all the earth. So that's why he used the same parable to tell them, 6 days the Lord made the heavens, and the seventh he allowed it and entered it. Zakah. So David is talking about a place, right? Moses is talking about a day. But the day Moses is talking about is for all the earth. Right? Are you together? Okay. The place David is talking about is also where? All the earth. Is it making sense? Very good. So day and place refer to the same work. So which means in Genesis, God, alright, is reaching the whole world. In the Psalms, God is reaching the whole world, in the whole Psalms, through the man in the image and likeness of God. So, why then were they building? Remember, David in the Psalm, he says, goodness and mercy for the others of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, how? Forever. He's not referring to the temple that he built or his son built. No. The temple is, pay attention, the temple is a parable of what God is building. The temple wasn't built by God, it was built by men. What God builds is men or in men. But the temple was built by men like a teaching class, like an example of what is in God's word. Like using an illustration of what is in God's word. Who's following what I'm saying here? Is it making sense? Very good. So God is building, and that's important. Now let's see one very important analogy. 1 Kings. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, I want you to pay attention to the prayer he made. 1 Kings 8. Hallelujah. Who's following this one? Are you following this one? So we have resting place and rest day. And they're referring to the same thing, right? So 1 Kings 8. Now look at the prayer. I'll start from verse 22. He spread forth his hands to heaven. Now, if you want to know something consistent in worship and praise, clapping is not one of them. Okay? Clapping is something we picked up from the world. Clapping in scripture is used to mock people. Every time you read about clapping, in the Old Testament book is to mock. It doesn't exist at all in the epistles or the four gospels. But it's just to mock, to hiss at people. But when you look at the aspect of praise, hands are raised. Jesus did it, or the apostles, or they kneel down, or they bow down, or they raise their voice. So clapping is not a culture of the church in praise. Now we can clap for ourselves, all right? Oh, they all clap for that brother, because we accept that. We clap for ourselves. You know, we clap for ourselves. You know, oh, this guy wants to. But when it comes to praise, we raise our hands. We bow down, we kneel down. Clapping is not a culture of the church. Now, but then, it's not in the epistles, but it's in the Old Testament books. It's used for mockery. Read the law, read the prophets, and read the Psalms. It's very consistent. It's the word of God. It's consistent as mockery. Lamentations, Isaiah, Jeremiah, is written all through scripture to mock people. So they put your hands together for the Lord. I don't know what Lord you're talking about. Give the Lord a high five. Not a white man. Very irreverent. Clap your hands for the Lord. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. This is almost Psalm 47 verse 1. Just very distorted. We have books that are explicit. Psalm 47 verse 1 was mockery. Clap your hands on you people. Shout to the God, shout the word. The peoples there are referring to the enemies of Israel. So clapping is not praise and worship. Praise the Lord. We have series on that. You could lay your hands on it. What was the title? Many of them. The first time I taught this was in 1996. Substituting grass for gold. Some of you were not born again, or even close to the kingdom. Substituting grass for gold. That was the title. Grass for gold. No. 1995. Grass for gold. And is the consistent truth of God's word. That doesn't matter whether many people do it or not. You know, God doesn't use opinions. He says, I think you guys like it. Okay, I like it. No, it doesn't do that. So anyway, what are we? Fasting date. So he spread forth his hands toward heaven. 22. But I want you to notice verse 26. Let's take it together, everybody. Now, O God of Israel, let go. Let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which you speak unto thy servant David, my father. 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heavens and heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? That you are very clear. Go on. You have respect unto the prayer of thy servants, the supplications, O Lord my God, to hearken to the cry and to the prayer which thy servants pray to thee this day. Now, look at verse 29. That your eyes may be towards this house, night and day, and towards the place on which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken to the prayer of thy servants and make towards this place. Hearken to the supplication of thy servants and the people of Israel, when they pray towards this place, you hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when you hear, you forgive. So it was very clear that that house was not his dwelling place. That's very clear. He was very clear. And if you look at the things he said, if you pray towards this place, he said, if a sinner should come, you will forgive him. So it was a place where God's promise or promises will be fulfilled and heard of. That means God's building is done by God alone and by His Spirit. No one builds for God. God builds by His Spirit. And when He does it with men. God's building is with men. So in Exodus 20, I was going to say that, I forgot that. When He says, remember somebody to keep you holy, the next thing He says is, honor thy father and mother. Which is, you have believed, now this is the mission. As you carry out the mission, you walk in love. You walk in love. This is faith, then the rest. Faith, and the resting place. So we can see. And the call to take the Sabbath of God around the nations of the world, then he says, as you do it, you walk in love. That's for another day. So put that in mind. So Jesus, Matthew 16, answered that Isaiah 66 question. Matthew 16. Who do men say that I am the Son of Man? Oh, you are Jeremiah, you are one of the prophets, you are Elijah, or you are John the Baptist. Then he says, who do you say I am? They say that you are Christ, the Son of the Living God, Matthew 16 and verse 16. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, 17, has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Let's take verse 18 carefully together. Let's go. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Look up, guys. So that's consistent, right? I will build a people. So is that consistent with the law? Huh? And the prophets? Because God's building is in all the earth amongst men. Genesis 2 verse 1 to 3. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? Upon this rock, now the rock we saw last week, is his resurrection, right? Come on. The stone that the builders rejected is also his resurrection. So upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the word oikodomeo, a verb, to build what is being built. So, upon this rock I build my church. So, the resurrection of Jesus is the stone, the foundation, the house, the rock. The resurrection of Jesus is the foundation, the rock, the building. So, let's look at that word, oikodomeo, I will build. Remember we said that when you use build, is to build a structure. A house, a building. Now, is this building his resting place? Huh? Is it? But not a temple. No. Is it a resting place? Is it in a building or with men? Okay, so how is he going to achieve it? By the gospel, by his spirit. Is that clear? Come on, let me see how they are following this. All right, very good. So, now, I will build my church. So, is Jesus inventing this or teaching the law and the prophets? Huh? The law and the prophets, which is God's redemption plan. So, the word building, oikodome, the building. So when I say built, verb, building what is built. So let's see the use of these words very carefully. Matthew 24, verse 1. Systematically, let's think. In Matthew 22 or 21. It speaks about the stone that the builders rejected. Matthew 21, 42, we read that earlier. In Matthew 22, it concludes by saying, he is the message of the prophets and the law. Precisely the one David prophesied about. In Matthew 23, he speaks about the parables of his rejection and all of that, the disobedience of Israel. It goes into 23, he mentions how they killed the prophet from Abel to Zechariah. Then he says, in 37, Matthew 22, O Jerusalem, you killed your prophets and stone them which are sent unto you. I've gathered thee up together, even as I've gathered the chicken from the wind, and you would not. Behold, your house is less desolate. And I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is not rapture. Pay attention. So he went out. Now, look at what he has done. He has spoken about his rejection. Then he has spoken about the persecution, his death, and of course his resurrection. So follow this narrative. The next thing he says in 24 verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. So all he was discussing was happening where? In the temple. And then they came to show him the buildings of the temple. And he said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall be not left there one stone upon another, they shall be thrown away. So which means, Jesus prophesies two things. The destruction of the temple, and then the building of another one. Now, that takes us back to the very beginning of Matthew, his first teaching, where he mentions a building and a destruction happening together in the same parable. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, if you hear the sayings of mine, which is the gospel, and you do them, you'll be like a man, Matthew 7:24, who builds his house. Wow. Building his house upon a rock. Is this making sense? Okay. The floods will come, the winds blew, which happened to the temple that Solomon built. Not just that, the temple that men built, the winds blew, which refers to persecution, wars, and it didn't fall. Which means this one built upon the rock will go through trials, tribulations, and will stand the test of time. But the one that is built upon the sand, the one built upon the sand, he says, great was the fall of it. It came down. So Jesus is making a contrast of what was built on man's work and what was built on what God has done. Who's following this? Come on. So that parable was a parable teaching of the Old Testament books. It's a parable teaching of the Old Testament books. So let me just go back to some things I said earlier. So in the law, we have the seventh day. You remember that? In the prophets and the Psalms, we have the resting place. Or the seventh, okay, let's say the rest day, sorry, in the law. Then we have the rest place. And both are referring to the same promise. The place and the day. So we must know what God is building. And what God is building is also called his rest place or his rest day. And according to Moses and the prophets, it is in all the rest day and the rest place. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? So whenever we use the word edify, right, we are referring to the same thing. So edify has to be the work of the Spirit of God to build what God promised to do. That's what edify means. The work of the Spirit of God to build what God promised to do. Hallelujah. That's what it is. So, when Jesus was teaching about the parable of the house on the rock and the sand, he's teaching about the temple. The temple. A house. A house upon the rock, a house upon the sand. A house of the resurrection in contrast to what men build. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible is about. So when we talk about edify, we are referring to what God is building. You learn something? So, in other words, the concept of a physical building is man-made. And you can see that Solomon said it as the first person who built a place. And he lets you know that it's not God dwelling there. It's we that are using the place. Is that very clear? Was that clear to you? Same way David, his father, prophesied. And same way Moses said so. That God said, I will dwell in them. Exodus 29:45. I'll dwell in them. In the Hebrew. I'm going to hang them. So why then did he build the tabernacle? It's for them, not for God. So everywhere people build, either the use of a day, a house, is for men, not for God. Remember when we said, we read it last week, when Stephen was preaching, he said, do you think that God would say, yes, someone built a house for him, but God will not dwell in a temple made in hands. That is why Isaiah said, where is the place where you are built for me? So it's very clear that the use of temple was a man-made concept, not something that God derived. Praise the Lord. So the concept of building in our minds is building God's house, God's rest or resting place. And the rest is tied to the Genesis 1:28 to replenish, subdue, cover the earth. Is that it? Is that it? Replenish, subdue, cover the earth, multiply, have dominion. When that is done in all the earth, then the work is done. Is that clear? That's the rest. So the rest was inaugurated upon the resurrection of Jesus. That's the rest, or the resting place of God. Go to Numbers. Numbers. 1 minute. Numbers 10. This is extra. That word I mentioned about resting place, Numbers 10:33. And he departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. A resting place. So the concept of rest is where God will dwell. And so when they use that phrase, that's basically what they're talking about. Where God will dwell. Primarily. So let's get back to our Matthew. I think I just have to move on quickly because of time. Matthew 24. So Jesus talks about a temple being built, and the temple being destroyed. A temple being built and a temple being destroyed. One of them is man-made, the other one is by the Spirit of God. So we have two. A temple being built, Matthew 24. A temple being built, Matthew 21, 42. The stone with the builders rejected and become head of corner. And the temple being destroyed, Matthew 24. Let me give you an idea of that. The moment Jesus was killed, that temple was going to be destroyed. So the destruction of that temple was judgment of what they did. But in that same death of Jesus, God built his own house. So the same act carried judgment and God's righteousness. God doing what he promised to do through their unbelief and through their wickedness. And yet the judgment of what they did still came. In other words, the temple was destroyed as judgment of their rejection of the Messiah. And then God built his own through the death of Jesus. So that works together. So the temple is built and the temple is destroyed. John 2. Let's make it clearer now. John 2. John's Gospel now, chapter 2. Look at 16. He entered into the temple. Then he said, take these things and make not my father's house an house of merchandise. Verse 17. And the disciples remembered what is written. The zeal of thy house has eaten me up. Then look at 19. Let's take 19 together. I hope you can see. Let's go. And Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. Now that destruction of this temple, talking about himself, is the stone that the builders what? Okay. It has now become the head of the corner. And then they said, 4 years, 6 years was this temple in building. How would you wrap it up in 3 days? Verse 21. But he spoke of the temple of what? His body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered what he had said. They had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Jesus said. So which means that when he said, destroy this temple, he brings back that parable. The winds will blow, right? The storms, and then it will stand the test of time. So the concept of the building of the temple is in the resurrection of Jesus. And the concept of the destruction of what man made is also in the resurrection of Jesus. So the resurrection of Jesus affirms God's promised spirit to build a resting place. Matthew 24 again. So we said, when Jesus was talking about the building, okay, we said Matthew 21, the stone that the builders rejected became the head of the corner. Verse 42. Matthew 22, he is the Christ. Matthew 23, it prophesies his sufferings. Matthew 21, the stone that the builders rejected. Matthew 22, he is the Christ. Matthew 23, his sufferings. Matthew 24, what will happen because of his rejection? This temple will come down. So in the parable of the two houses, the one built on sand is a man-made work. The one built on the rock is built on the resurrection of Jesus. Which he will say later in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build what? My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, what is God building, or what is God building Jesus, is where he will dwell forever. What is God building through it? It's the same thing. So the building is the church. Is that correct? Is that right? Is that correct? The building is the church. Okay? Which is a function of the resurrection of Jesus. So therefore, that is what I must say. So, the resurrection of Jesus becomes the stone. Now, when they say stone or the chief cornerstone, right, is what you build other things upon. So, which means that what God is building in the earth will be patterned after what? Jesus Christ, right? And his resurrection. Patterned after Jesus and his resurrection. Look at Romans 14. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Romans 14. Let's read it together. Let's go. Romans 14, 19. We are there, say amen. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Echo somewhere. Let's go. Let us therefore follow after the things that make for what? Peace. Go on. And things wherewith we may what? Okay, now let's properly now. Edify to build on God's building. Right? Is that it? To build on Jesus. To build on his resurrection. So let's make for what builds after the pattern of Jesus' resurrection. Romans 15, verse 2. Let us, please, his neighbor, for good to edification. So we're supposed to build after what? The sufferings of Christ, right? And his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 3. Is this very clear to you? Is it clear to you? So, the resurrection is the day and also the place. Is that right? The day and the place. So the day, what God is doing, the place, where he's doing it, and they are both found in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 2. If I'm not building, what am I doing? Come on. So, if I'm not doing, what am I doing? So, wherever I'm building, right, according to the resurrection, will have an eternal impact, right? Is that also the same thing? Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 3, 9. Let's read it together. 3, 9, let's go. For we are laborers together with who? Okay? You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. 9, verse 10. Upon the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds thereupon. Let everyone take heed how he builds upon. Let's take 11 together. All of that that is laid, which is rule. That means you cannot relay the foundation. You can't change the method. You can't change what we are building upon. Verse 12. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, now, what am I supposed to build upon this foundation? Jesus Christ. But then if I decide to use fanciful things like gold, silver, or those things that are not nice, like wood, Paul says, fire will destroy it. So, look at this. Pay attention here now. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide that he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved yet by fire. Let's take 16. Make it size now. 16. Know ye not that ye are all. That's very clear now. And the Spirit of God does what? So that temple Solomon was building was a temple that will mirror you and I. Men. Same as the day. So, God is building by His Spirit upon the work of the resurrection. So, what else? 1 Corinthians 14. Yeah. 14. Paul says, when you speak with tongues, you edify yourself. Then it says, when you prophesy, verse 4, you edify yourself. Verse 3, you edify the church. And verse 12. And 1 Corinthians 14, 26, he said, when we come together, we do all things unto what? Change your vocabulary. Building on the resurrection of Jesus. Or building according to the pattern of Jesus' life and resurrection. Okay? So, in other words, Paul is giving us a reason for having what we call believers and Holy Ghost meetings. Now, you can add all this also. 2 Corinthians 12, 29, sorry, 19. 2 Corinthians 13, 10. So, the question now is, Paul is emphatic on us building. And he tells us how to build. He says that everybody will build, but you can build things that will be destroyed. You can also build things that will last. So, we have therefore a responsibility to build. So, everyone who is born again and has the Holy Spirit, everybody does, is a builder. Is that right? Is that right? So then we are building on Christ or we are destroying. We are building. And how do we build? We are the temple of God. We build by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Paul, look at verse 19. After 18. And through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Let's take turns together. And are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. Very consistent. In whom all the building, God, fitly framed together, grown up in the holy temple in the Lord, 22, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God, how? Through the Spirit. Go to chapter 4. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for what? The edifying. Actually, the Greek here is supposed to be the edifice of the building of the body of Christ, the building called the body of Christ. Look at 16, apart from 15. For speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Let's take 16 together. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint does what? Does, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase into the edifying of itself. How? So this edifying is in what? Love. This edifying is by the Spirit. And it's edifying is also in love. Look at 29. Let's take 29 together. Ephesians 4. Let's go. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Amen. Come on. Corrupt communication. Corrupt means what will corrupt other people and destroy. It means something that destroys people. Go on. Let's take it together. Let no. Let's go again. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth to the edifying that it may minister grace to the earth. Hallelujah. So, if it's to edify, it will not serve you. If it's to edify, it will serve others. It will be done in love and by His Spirit. And Paul takes it one by one. One, he mentions knowledge. You know so much that you ask any apostles, no. Knowledge pops up. 1 Corinthians 8:1. What edifies? Love. So, this resting place of God cannot be built with selfishness. Right? It's not just good because I know a lot. It's good because I love a lot. It's built in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So which means I must exercise my knowledge in what? If my knowledge will build, it will not build because I know. It will build because I serve. I love. Who's following this? Come on. Are you following this? Because it's God's building. It's God's building. And we see from the resurrection, which is the foundation, the chief cornerstone, the sufferings of Christ, that God built this resting place in love. God built in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul, again, chapter 8 verse 1 says you can only edify in love. Chapter 10 verse 23. All things are lawful. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but not everything edifies. So, which means I must ask questions. Is this going to build? Come on, look up, guys. I know what we're building, right? Do I know it? We're building on the sufferings of Christ and the glory after, right? We're building on the sacrifice of Jesus. Come on. We're building on the love of God, right? We're building on the faithfulness of God. So I already know if I'm building or not. Come on. So how do I know this is destructive? Because this will not be eternal. This is never going to last. This is not by the Spirit of God. I already know that. So I must pray for two things. I exercise my knowledge to build. I exercise my liberty to build. In 1 Corinthians 8, it's towards the believer. In 1 Corinthians 10, it's to save the unsaved. What about the fruits of the Spirit? I exercise myself also in love. when I gave tongues in a public meeting, Paul says, are you considering the other person? You have to. You have to think of the other person. So, one of the attributes of edifying is that I don't think of myself, right? Come on. I please others. I think about others. Romans 15. Romans 15. Verse 1. See then that when we are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. So I don't please myself. There's something called, is it self-love? Have you heard it before? Self-love. That's what Bible love. Let every one of us please his neighbor, for his good to edification. Let's take verse 3 together. For even Christ pleased not himself, as is written, reproaches of them that reproach fell on me. So I don't please myself. See, I don't please myself. So that means my knowledge is not for me. It's not for my liberty. It's for the liberty of others. When it comes to the things of the Spirit as well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, yes, you sang in tongues. Oh, you did well. Verse 17, but the other is not what? Built up. So which means, I'm duty bound to interpret tongues. Right? In a public meeting. I'm duty bound. I am law bound to ensure that I don't use the gifts of the Spirit to show off. I'm bound by the love of God to ensure that I build others. I must do it in love. So which means, the gifts of the Spirit, the knowledge of the word that I have, is to serve. Is that very clear? Come on, look at me. Are you getting the point? The moment I remove service from knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit, I'm not building. Why? Because this house is built on service. Who's following this? Come on. Is it making sense? It must be love. I must. And love means I tolerate others. I sacrifice for them. I don't have to show my knowledge everywhere. I don't have to, prove to people I know a lot. I prove my knowledge by how I love. One of the ways you know that you are growing in the world is your ability to suffer long with people's ignorance. Your ability to not endorse but accommodate people in the love of God, till you bring them to a place of establishment. And those of us who are actively in the work of the ministry, all of us should be, you need this in heavy dosage. A lot of patience, a lot of calmness, a lot of long-suffering, amen, gentleness. Many of us are in a hurry. How do you do 40 years with a nation that don't like you? 40 years. Or thousands of years to explain the same truth. Some of you will teach a student and they are still twice recommend him for organizer. This one can never know book, ever. One of my mentors, who was a Muslim in the business world, he told me that when he was young, they took him to the Quranic school just before he got to the school. And the teacher went to his mom and said, this boy cannot know Quran. He can't know book. They just put him at home, let him be houseboy. Interestingly, he became a qualified medical doctor at age 19. He had his first PhD in nuclear chemistry when he was 22. But they had written him up. The mom said, no, you will know book. Interestingly, my second mentor was like that too. He's also a Muslim. Come on, don't pray for me. He said he was a bad boy because my dad told me he was a bad boy because he was my dad's school son. Said he was a bad boy. And the father just said, this boy, I wish this. And the mom took him again and said, you know what? You will know book. He's a senior outfit of Nigeria now. That's for the world. Even unbelievers do that. Some of us are in a hurry.
You want someone that got born again yesterday to pastor a church tomorrow?
The guy says, you know, I say, what are you doing?
Boy, you know, if you begin to see something, our sense will be destroyed.
So I build. Hallelujah. I edify.
No, there are things that you will know. You won't please yourself. Knowledge is not to please you. You hear me? Knowledge is to serve.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
The gift of the Spirit? To serve.
Let all things be done unto what? Edifying.
Are you learning something? So, do we build in knowledge?
Yeah.
But by love. You cannot build God's building by outside love.
You know, there's this story Reverend Christopher that came and told us years ago. That there was this man who called his son-in-law and asked him to build a house for him in the city. And so he said, give me a budget. The guy gave a big budget. So he said, every time you need money, come and collect. The man will come. We need $5 million for the tap. Give him. $10 million for the ball. He gave him. He gave him a lot of money. So at the end of the day, he said, the house is complete. I said, are you done yet? Yeah. So they got to the house, and then as we do in Africa, they said, they opened the house. He said, you know, I've been thinking of what to give you, two for you, for the last 5 years. So I decided to give you this house. Son-in-law looked at the man. This one said, yeah, started crying. Why is he crying? He did not know the house was his. So he used inferior quality materials to build it. Hallelujah. There's nothing you do that you're not going to be responsible for. What are you building? Are you building by the Spirit of God? Are you building in love? Are you pleasing yourself? Or are you pleasing Christ? What about tongues? Let's quickly look at them. Then we, why then does Paul say we edify ourselves? Again, that word building comes in. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Now, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 14, talks about tongues in verse 21. In the knowledge is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Now, Paul goes into Isaiah 28 and says, tells us what tongues mean. And then he uses Isaiah 28 verse 11 and 12, where you find, I will cause them to rest in verse 12. To rest. To rest. Nuach. N-U-A-C-H. Isaiah 28:12. To rest. To cause you to rest. Which is an Hebrew word to settle, to be settled. To be stable. In my rest. In my resting place. Menucha. So which means that when we speak in other tongues, it stabilizes us in what God is doing. Isaiah 28 verse 11 and 12. The writer, close here, Isaiah said, it is a refreshing. That word refreshing from the word raga, R-A-G-A. The root of the word is raga, actually. It means strength. To give you strength. So when I speak with tongues, I pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm building myself on God's building so that I can build others. I'm building myself on God's building so that I can build others. So we edify. So I edify. Which means I build on things that last. Amen. So I build on things that last. I build in love. I use my knowledge well to serve others. I walk in the gifts of the Spirit to serve others. I don't please myself. I build on what God has built. Hallelujah. You blessed? Stand to our feet, bless the Lord. We will glory in what the Father has done. Sing that song.